Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Max Herz here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian. Jeff, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm good, Joe. Robbie, how are you?
We are great. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So we've talked about this on the show. It's been such an exciting year for the Memphis Grizzlies, and obviously Ja Morant, one of the most exciting players in the NBA. What's kind of the vibe like in Memphis right now as this team heads into the playoffs? How much damage do you think this Grizzlies team can do?
Well, I mean, people are understandably giddy, and getting ready for the playoff run. We haven't ever had this circumstance where you get to watch a play-in game as we see the Clippers and Timberwolves play tonight for the right to play the Grizzlies. So that's a new one. And it's been a fascinating year because, you know, at the start of this year, COVID restrictions, vaccination requirements, mask requirements, the arena was sort of half full. You wondered if people were going to get back in the habit of going to sporting events. And by the end, the tickets are hotter than they've literally ever been. So I think it really, not only did the country have to catch up on how good these Grizzlies are, the city sort of had to, like, this is way ahead of schedule. This was supposed to be a year of further development, and maybe you could get to sixth in the West. No one expected the two-seed division title, except maybe the Grizzlies. So, it's been intoxicating, and people are thrilled. In terms of what they can do, I think that the range of possibilities for the Grizzlies includes losing in the first round and winning the NBA title. And that, it is very rare you can say that, and I don't know for most teams you can say that, but I think for this team it is both. It is not inconceivable that they would lose a series to the Clippers or the Timberwolves, honestly, and it is not inconceivable in this wide-open year that they could, you know, have a parade down Beale Street.
Did you ever approach a previous postseason, Jeff, believing that, you know, those teams, those Zebo, Tony Allen, Mike Conley teams, could win it going into a postseason?
No, for two reasons. One is they didn't have the ceiling that this team has. They didn't have as high a ceiling. Very good, a collection of very good, determined, you know, gritty, all that players. But they didn't have the ceiling that this team has. They didn't have the superstar that is Ja Morant. And so I think that's different. The other thing, though, that's different is back then there was always a super team, a Death Star out there. The Golden State Warriors were doing, you know, crazy Golden State Warrior things. And Kevin Durant was playing alongside Steph and Draymond Green and everything else. And so you could imagine – the Spurs were being the Spurs. So you could imagine a playoff run. And when the Grizzlies got to the Western Conference Finals, that was the year that Russell Westbrook was hurt in Oklahoma City and things fell just the right way. But then they get to the Western Conference Finals and they're swept by the Spurs. Now, obviously the Suns have been the best team in the league all year long, but they're not objectively as terrifying as teams were. This is a much more wide open NBA. And so I think for two reasons, you never had this thought before that, my God, they could win the title. And now, again, you'd probably pick two or three teams anyway that you would pick to win the title before the Grizzlies, but you wouldn't have to go too far down.
Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Jeff, sometimes it's difficult to remember that Ja Morant's only 22 years old and is already as good as he is, and that he's going to, you know, conceivably get better as they move forward here. What kind of a recruiting tool can he be to Memphis for the Grizzlies? And based on the way that this team plays around him right now, do you think this team is already deep enough to win an NBA title?
Well, in this NBA, yes, this team could win a title. And this team certainly matured another year. Desmond Bain another year older. Jaren Jackson Jr. another year older. Ja Morant another year, could win a title. What you don't know is what the rest of the NBA is going to look like. So right now there's no equivalent of those of those super teams. You know, what happens if Kawhi Leonard comes back and Paul George is healthy and they add another star, and then all of a sudden, well, what happens if the Nets look like the Nets were supposed to look like, right? So, but right now, as currently constituted, they're certainly good enough. I don't think that even with Ja, the Grizzlies are going to be, you know, there's talk of Zion, honestly. And, you know, Jalen Rose brought up the idea that don't discount Zion coming to Memphis. And that has all kinds of intriguing possibilities and terrifying possibilities both. But beyond that, I don't think Memphis is going to be a destination. But, you know, the Spurs weren't, when they were winning, they weren't a destination. They had a group of players who they drafted in Ginobili and Tony Parker and obviously Tim Duncan. And that group looked around and said, I don't have to go to Los Angeles. I don't have to go to New York. We like it here. We like playing with each other. And we can have a 10-year run where we win a bunch of titles. And I think that's sort of the hope for this Grizzlies team, is that they seem to love playing with each other. It's been one of the joys of watching them, is the pleasure that they take in playing with each other. And so if they can hang together and maybe make some financial sacrifices when the time comes, and then you can fit pieces. But I don't think, you know, I don't think Memphis is ever going to be the place where the next LeBron says, I want to go, you know, plant my flag.
So in terms of this team's surprising excellence, Jeff, I think Bane, you mentioned Bane. That seems to me a big part of it, is that what he has become. What else, when you look at everything coming together, because obviously they played so well without Ja too, but what else has been individually surprising for you to make this happen?
Well, what happened with this team is that if before the season began you said we would like to see these things happen, every one of those things happened pretty much. And so one was, you want Ja to make the superstar leap, to go from being, oh gosh, he looks really promising a lot of times, to become a legit star. That happened. I think some people would argue that maybe the most important thing that happened, because you could sort of see that one coming, was Jaren Jackson Jr. becoming legitimately a defensive player of the year candidate. I think probably underrated defensive player of the year candidate. The guy is tremendous. And he does it, you know, as a forward slash center. He's blocking, you know, more shots than anyone else. And he's doing it not playing center most of his minutes. And so in this NBA, he challenges shots all over the court. He's switchable. He's truly a force. As you point out, Desmond Bane, again, making the leap from looks good, looks like it could be something, to a legit. Like, I saw ESPN did a top 25 players under, I don't know what the age was, 24, and those three are all on it. Desmond Bane ranked even higher than Jaren Jackson Jr. I don't know that that's the right ranking, but so that happened. Steven Adams, you know, there was some thought, are they going to miss Jonas Valanciunas and his play down low? And Steven Adams has done exactly what you wanted him to do, which is rebound and set picks, and he's an effective passer. And so you can Tyus Jones, like, you know, you can go right down the line. Everything that you wanted to happen, it's, you know, this preseason you assemble your list of questions, they were all answered. And I don't think you can ignore Taylor Jenkins, who has just, to be able to do what he has done, particularly with Ja out, is really pretty extraordinary. When they were able to beat the Suns the other day with their backups and the Suns starters, I think that was sort of, you know, that was Exhibit A in his Coach of the Year candidacy.
No question. Now, Jeff, I do want to switch gears before we let you go on the other Memphis basketball team, the college basketball. I feel like when Penny Hardaway threw profanity in your general direction, that seemed to be that seemed to be a big moment for that program. Where is that? Where are things headed? And now you have the notice of allegations. What's your right now assessment?
I was the person who asked the question of Penny that, and he responded with the "Stop asking stupid effing questions, bro." I don't really think, honestly, it was directed at me, but he was incredibly frustrated at that point. They had lost 8 of 12, and it was looking like year 4 of the Penny Hardaway era was going to collapse in another promising recruiting class. he wasn't going to deliver on. And I just think, honestly, he was frustrated. The question was, the question that I asked was, have you ever lost faith that you can get this done? Honestly, not a particularly disrespectful question. And so he erupted. That happened. I don't know that the rant in that moment became the catalyst. What did happen is Penny started playing the right guys, and the right guys got healthy, and he shortened the rotation, and, you know, all this crazy, you know, subbing people every 3 seconds that he was doing, he sort of stopped doing. And they went on a run, you know, won a tournament game, got to the tournament, won a tournament game, played Gonzaga valiantly, and you're like, okay, this is great. That looks like the Tigers have finally turned the corner, and the Penny Hardaway era is, you know, has regained its promise. And then, of course, you've got the notice of allegations. And so everything now grinds to a halt because you have people entering the transfer portal, and you have it almost, you know, nearly impossible to recruit to that. When the expectation is between now and the start of the season, they'll get their punishment, and the punishment will include a postseason ban. And so you can recruit to that. Musa Cisse went to Oklahoma State, you know, whatever. I mean, it's possible, but it certainly puts a – it had looked like, look at this, Penny saved the day here, and now it's all a little bit thrown back into flux. The difference, though, with almost every other situation is that Memphis is just never going to get rid of Penny Hardaway. So it doesn't matter. Like, people love him. And so it really doesn't matter what happens. He will leave when he chooses to leave. And because of that, he might be able to, you know, he might be able to weather the storm, whatever that storm looks like.
Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. Jeff, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, good to talk to you both. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jeff.
Really interesting stuff there. Going to be interesting to see how Memphis handles their playoff run. Do you care about the Grizzlies? Are you bought in to the Memphis Grizzlies as they now enter into the NBA playoffs? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.